Everything we do in real estate is lead generation, transaction management. The most important thing is getting hired and getting hired at the right list price. So the challenge oftentimes is having enough data. And agents generally go to sold comps, sold properties, and they're trying to persuade a seller that here are the three sold properties, here's why your price is what it is. We're going to talk about actives and how they can actually play a part. And I'm going to ask you, in the thought process here, just forget about solds. Active solds don't exist. Act as if they don't exist. And you could only do it based on other competing properties with the other firms. So one thing you're going to do is you're going to try to find other properties with high days in the market. It's a polite way to eliminate your competitor. If you're with XYZ company and ABC has one down the street at 97 days in the market, you're going to be able to ask the seller during the presentation, hey, XYZ, they're a good company down the street, but they've had that listing for 97 days. Why do you think it didn't sell? Now keep in mind, you're going to have the active property in front of you, in front of them, and you're going to say, you know, it's got the similar square foot. It also has a two-car, three-car garage. Like you, it has a finished lower level, different types of things. We need to utilize the actives in a way to eliminate our competitor, as well as educate the seller that this active is 300 square feet larger than you. It's got an in-ground pool in the back. It's got a finished lower level. Things that you don't, it's screened-in porch on a cul-de-sac back into woods, but they've been out there for 97 days. If they're asking $500,000 for that property and it's not selling, what price do you think it should be? So the seller says, well, maybe 450. Well, what they just did is that they just set the ceiling for what their price should be without knowing they did it. The whole presentation is very therapeutic. They have an opinion and they're incorrect, but they want your marketing to work. So I want you to imagine again that actives are the only status. Now that's not the case, but I want you to imagine that you had to pull enough actives, because that's what? That's the buyer's perspective. So when you're doing your analysis, forget about sold properties for right now. Look within generally a 1 to 2 mile radius, ideally inside the subdivision, for something that's the same style. And look at the features it has, and it's not selling. If you see something at 2 days on the market, it's hard to tell if it's priced right or not. But if it's day 22 and XYZ company has it listed, and you know, why is that house not selling? Why would you say it's not selling as a realtor? Is it the other agent's inability to market that property? Or is it the price, because the buyer's gonna vote? What would you say a house that hits 62 days on the market in its XYZ real estate company's listing? Is it their incompetence? Or is the price wrong? But let's say it's your listing at 62 days on the market. Is it your competence? Or is it the price and the seller's reluctance? Since we know it's not you, it's the price and the inability to persuade the seller to adjust the price. That's all it really comes down to. The seller is just not being persuaded by the listing agent, which is a whole nother conversation about seller servicing and how to get price shifts. But for now, what I want you to do on your listing interview, I'd like you to look first to the buyer's perspective, and that is the active properties that are within, let's say, 10% above or below the subject property. So if the house is 500, yes, you're going to go as maybe as low as 450, as high as 550, because there might only be three properties. Now, if you find that there's 35 properties, tighten it up. In fact, go 475 to 5.25. If you still have 20 properties, tighten it up. So you only have about five or so to show the home seller. If you're finding that within a 2 mile radius, you have none, well, then you have to go outside of that. The danger of geographically shifting areas is actually the price of ground really shifts. You take a house in one community, and I'll use an example here is, let's say there's a city called Clayton, Missouri, where in Clayton, there is a property that recently sold for $640,000 on a postage stamp size lot. We're talking a teeny tiny lot for over $600,000. And then you take a community, like they call it Chesterfield, and you might get a house on, you know, an acre, and it's newer for $600,000. But the other community, one's Chesterfield, one's Clayton, and what happens is, one, there's no house on it. It's just a piece of dirt. The other one has a brand new house, three-car garage, all this stuff, because you geographic, even if they were the same floor plan on both lots, one's a teardown and one's to be moved into, is the ground value tends to be, in some areas, 20% of the value. Your house right now, if your house is worth 100, your ground's probably worth 20. Thousand. If your house is worth a million, your ground is worth safely 200,000. So if we go too far away from the subject property, we're now into shifting ground prices. As a realtor, sellers are generally amazed when you say something like that, because they find their same house 5 miles away in a new construction subdivision selling for 370, and you're thinking they're 320. And the challenge is that they're pulling from the wrong area. Now, again, closed sales are generally from the subject property subdivision. And we try not to leave that, in part because of the ground value shifts in neighboring subdivisions. So actives, we're going to summarize it with this. Ideally find 5 actives that are within a mile or two of the subject. Exact floor plan. If it's a ranch, get a ranch. Stir and a half, get stir and a halves. If you can't find it, find the closest style floor plan to the subject property. And try to be able to show the seller, I want you to practice this presentation, as if you're putting it in front of the seller and asking this question: is this house superior or inferior to your home? It's for sale for 97 days with XYZ company. And the question is, at 97 days, is it priced right, or is the problem the listing agency? We want the seller to answer your question. And it's very therapeutic, because one spouse or seller says this, the other one says that. And all of a sudden, they're debating it, and you're watching it. Well, honey, that house is better than ours, you know it. Well, we have heavy-duty nails in the garage, and we have insulation in the attic, and we're worth more than anybody else. And you're going, oh my gosh, these people are not very objective. How do you find out if people are objective or not? You put things in front of them, and you ask questions. The very first thing we're going to put in front of them are the other houses they're competing with, and we're going to ask Bob and Sally, does this house, it's 300 square feet larger, it's got a 3-car, we have a 2-car, it's got a finished walkout lower level, we don't have a finished basement or walkout, is this house superior or inferior? And he says, it's inferior. She says, honey, that house is much better than ours. Well, I wouldn't live there. All of a sudden, during your presentation, you know who's not coachable, who's not even listening. You've got to keep going through the process, one property at a time, to watch them, because the whole purpose of the listing interview is to set up seller servicing and to find out, are they receptive to a price shift if we are starting too high. So get your 5 properties, similar style, circle the square foot differences, look at the remarks that the realtors wrote, find the remarks that are remarkable, circle them, highlight them, bring them to attention, because you're going to put these properties in front of the home seller, and you're going to simply ask, this house is bigger by 200 square feet. Its lot size is a little bit smaller. Its features are, it has this, and we don't. We have this, and they don't. I've got one question for you, Bob and Sally. Is this house superior or inferior to us? and they're asking blank. And from the very get-go, you're seeing they're following the path that you want them to go, and that is to express their opinion. Because if they say to you, well, agent, we don't know the price, you're the pro here, just tell us what you're thinking. They always know. Never fall for it. I don't care if she's 112 years old and she says to you, I really don't know the value. And all you have to do is say your number and the seller will say, oh, that low. Which means they knew the whole time they had a number in mind. I don't care who's telling you they have no number in mind. Everybody has a number in mind. All you have to do is say yours first and you're in trouble. It's important that they say their number. So, any case, that's the actives. Let's print those five, practice the presentation before you go. You have circled everything, you put it in front of them, you've asked a question, are the other ones bigger than ours? They have an in-ground pool, is it superior or inferior? And listen closely to how they answer it and what they say. And then show your second active and your third active. All right, thank you.